Chapter 3, Economic Welfare and National Income. Page 28. What is economic welfare? Before knowing the relation between economic welfare and national income, it is essential to define economic welfare. Welfare is a state of the mind which reflects human happiness and satisfaction. In actuality, welfare is a happy state of human mind. Piaggio regards individual welfare as the sum total of all satisfactions experienced by an individual and social welfare as the sum total of individual welfares. He divides welfare into economic welfare and non-economic welfare. Economic welfare is that part of social welfare which can directly or indirectly be measured in money. Piaggio attaches great importance to economic welfare because welfare is a very wide term. In his words, "The range of our inquiry becomes restricted to that part of social, that is, general welfare, that can be brought directly or indirectly into relation with the measuring rod of money." Note 1. A.C. Piaggio, The Economics of Welfare, 1932, page 11. On the contrary, non-economic welfare is that part of social welfare which cannot be measured in money, for instance, moral welfare. But it is not proper to differentiate between economic and non-economic welfare on the basis of money. Piaggio also accepts it. According to him, non-economic welfare can be improved upon in two ways. First, by the income-earning method. Longer hours of working and unfavorable conditions will affect economic welfare adversely. Second, by the income spending method. It is assumed in economic welfare that expenditures incurred on different consumption goods provide the same amount of satisfaction. But in actuality, it is not so, because when the utility of purchased goods starts diminishing, the non-economic welfare declines, which results in reducing the total welfare. But Piaggio is of the view that it is not possible to calculate such effects because non-economic welfare cannot be measured in terms of money. The economist should therefore proceed with the assumption that the effect of economic causes on economic welfare applies also to total welfare. Hence, Piaggio arrives at the conclusion that the increase in economic welfare results in the increase of total welfare and vice versa. But it is not possible always because the causes that lead to an increase in economic welfare may also reduce non-economic welfare. The increase in total welfare may therefore be less than anticipated. For instance, with the increase in income, both the economic welfare and total welfare increases and vice versa. But economic welfare depends not only on the amount of income but also on the methods of earning and spending it. When the workers earn more by working in factories but reside in slums and vitiated atmosphere, the total welfare cannot be said to have increased, even though the economic welfare might have increased. Similarly, as a result of increase in their expenditure proportionately to the income, the total welfare cannot be presumed to have increased if they spend their increased income on harmful commodities like wine, cigarettes, etc. Hence, economic welfare is not an indicator of total welfare. Relation between economic welfare and national income. Piaggio establishes a close relationship between economic welfare and national income because both of them are measured in terms of money. When national income increases, total welfare also increases and vice versa. The effect of national income on economic welfare can be studied in two ways. One, by change in the size of national income, and two, by change in the distribution of national income. Page 29. Change in the size of national income. The change in the size of national income may be positive or negative. The positive change in the national income increases its volume. As a result, people consume more of goods and services, which leads to increase in the economic welfare. Whereas the negative change in national income results in reduction of its volume. People get lesser goods and services for consumption, which leads to decrease in economic welfare. But this relationship depends on a number of factors. 1. Change in prices. Is the change in national income real or monetary? If the change in national income is due to changes in prices, it will be difficult to measure the real changes in economic welfare. For example, when the national income increases as a result of increase in prices, the increase in economic welfare is not possible because it is probable that the output of goods and services may not have increased. It is more likely that the economic welfare would decline as a result of increase in prices. It is only the real increase in national income that increases economic welfare. 2. Working conditions. It depends on the manner in which the increase in national income comes about. The economic welfare cannot be said to have increased if the increase in national income is due to exploitation of labor. For example, increase in production by workers working for longer hours, by paying them lesser wages than the minimum, forcing them to put their women and children to work, by not providing them with facilities of transport to and from the factories of residence, and they are residing in slums. 3. Per capita income. National income cannot be a reliable index of economic welfare if per capita income is not kept in mind. It is possible that with the increase in national income, the population may increase at the same pace, and thus the per capita income may not increase at all. In such a situation, the increase in national income will not result in increase in economic welfare. But from this, it should not be concluded that the increase in national income results in increase in economic welfare and vice versa. It is possible that as a result of increase in national income, the per capita income might have risen. But if the national income has increased due to the production of capital goods and there is shortage of consumption goods on account of decrease in their output, the economic welfare will not increase even if the national income and per capita income rise. This is because the economic welfare of people depends not on capital goods but on consumption goods used by them. Similarly, when the national income and the per capita income rise sharply during war time, the economic welfare does not increase because during war days, the entire production capacity of the country is engaged in producing war material and there is a shortage of consumption goods. As a result, the standard of living of the people falls and economic welfare decreases. Often, even with the increase in national income and per capita income, the economic welfare decreases. This is the case when, as a result of the increase in national income, income of the richer sections of the society increases and the poor do not gain at all from it. In other words, the rich become richer and the poor become poorer. Thus, when the economic welfare of the rich increases and that of the poor decreases, the total economic welfare decreases. 4. Method of spending. The influence of increase in national income on economic welfare depends also on the method of spending adopted by the people. If, with the increase in income, people spend on such necessities and facilities as milk, ghee, eggs, fans, etc., which increase efficiency, the economic welfare will increase. But, on the contrary, the expenditure on drinking, gambling, etc., will result in decreasing the economic welfare. As a matter of fact, the increase or decrease in economic welfare as a result of increase in national income depends on changes in the tastes of people. If the change in fashions and tastes takes place in the direction of the consumption of better goods, economic welfare increases. Conclusion. It is clear from the above analysis that though the national income and economic welfare are closely interrelated, yet it cannot be said with certainty that the economic welfare would increase with the increase in national income and per capita income. The increase or decrease in economic welfare as a result of increase in national income depends on a number of factors such as the rate of growth of population, the methods of earning income, the conditions of working, the method of spending, fashions and tastes, etc. Changes in distribution of national income. Changes in the distribution of national income takes place in two ways. Page 30. 1. By transfer of wealth from the poor to the rich. When, as a result of increase in national income, the transfer of wealth takes place in the former manner, the economic welfare decreases. This happens when the government gives more privileges to the richer sections and imposes regressive taxes on the poor. 2. Transfer of wealth from the rich to the poor. The redistribution of wealth in favor of the poor is brought about by reducing the wealth of the rich and increasing the income of the poor. The income of the richer sections can be reduced by adopting a number of measures. For example, by progressive taxation on income, property, etc., by imposing checks on monopoly, by rationalizing social services, by levying duties on costly and foreign goods which are used by the rich, and so on. On the other hand, the income of the poor can also be raised in a number of ways. For example, by fixing a minimum wage rate, by increasing the production of goods used by the poor, by fixing the prices of such goods, by granting financial assistance to the producers of these goods, by the distribution of goods through cooperative stores, and by providing free education, social security, and low rent accommodation to the poor. When the distribution of income takes place in favor of the poor through these methods, economic welfare increases. But it is not essential that equal distribution of national income would lead to increase in economic welfare. On the contrary, there is a greater possibility of economic welfare decreasing if the policy towards the rich is not rational. Heavy taxation and progressive taxes at high rates affect adversely the productive capacity, investment, and capital formation, thereby decreasing the national income. Similarly, when through the efforts of the government the income of the poor increases, but if they spend that income on bad goods like drinking, gambling, etc., or if their population increases, the economic welfare will decrease. Both these situations are not real and only express the fears, because the government, while imposing different kinds of progressive taxes on the rich, keeps particularly in view that taxation should not affect the production and investment adversely. On the other hand, when the income of a poor man increases, he tries to provide better education to his children and to improve his standard of living. His welfare increases. Conclusion. We arrive at the conclusion that as a result of the increase in national income, the economic welfare will increase, provided that the income of the poor increases instead of decreasing, and they improve their standard of living, and that the income of the rich decreases in such a way that their productive capacity, investment, and capital accumulation do not decline. National income as a measure of economic welfare. GNP is not a satisfactory measure of economic welfare because the estimates of national income do not include certain services and production activities which affect welfare. We discuss below some of the factors which affect human welfare but are not included in the GNP estimates. Leisure. One of the important things that affects the welfare of a society is leisure, but it is not included in GNP. For example, longer working hours may make people unhappy because their leisure is reduced. On the contrary, shorter working hours per week may increase leisure and make people happy. More or less, leisure enjoyed by the community as such may affect the total output of the economy. But the value of leisure is excluded from the national income estimates. Quality of life. GNP estimates do not include the quality of life, which reflects the community's welfare. Life in overcrowded cities is full of tensions. Roads are overcrowded. There is loss in time. Accidents occur daily which cripple or kill people. Environment becomes polluted. There are the problems of water, power, housing, transportation, etc. Crimes spread. Life becomes complex and the quality of life deteriorates. Consequently, social welfare is reduced. But all these stresses and strains of city life are not included in the national income estimates. Strangely, the efforts made by the government to remedy the ills of the city life are included in the GNP because they involve public expenditure. On the other hand, in places where there is no congestion, people enjoy fresh air and the beauty of nature. The quality of life tends to increase, but this is not reflected in GNP. Non-market transactions. Some of the non-market transactions increase welfare, but they are not included in national income estimates. The services of housewives within the home and community activities such as religious functions affect the welfare of the people, but they are excluded from the estimates of GNP because no market transaction is involved in providing these services. Externalities. Similarly, there are externalities which tend to increase or decrease welfare, but they are not included in GNP estimates. An externality is a cost or benefit conferred upon second or third parties as a result of acts of individual production and consumption. But the cost or benefit of an externality cannot be measured in money terms because it is not included in market activities. Page 31. An example of an external benefit is the pleasure one man derives from his neighbor's fine garden. An example of an external cost is environmental pollution caused by industrial plants. The former tends to increase welfare and the latter tends to reduce it. Since externalities are untraded interdependencies, they are excluded from national income estimates. Nature of production. GNP estimates do not reflect the capacity of different goods to provide different levels of satisfaction to the community. The same amount of money spent on a nuclear bomb or on building a dam across a river adds equally to the national income, but they provide different levels of satisfaction to the community. A bomb does not increase welfare while a dam increases welfare. Standard of living. National income also does not reflect standard of living of the community, which determines its welfare. If more national expenditure is incurred on the production of arms and ammunition and on capital goods and less on producing consumption goods, this difference is not reflected in GNP estimates. But the reduction in the production of consumption goods tends to decrease the welfare of the people, while the increase in the expenditure on armaments and capital goods does not increase welfare. Keeping the above limitations in view, GNP cannot be used as a measure of welfare. However, a few economists have tried to broaden the definition of GNP so as to make it a measure of economic welfare. A pioneering attempt towards this direction has been made by Professor Nordhaus and Tobin in 1972. Note: William Nordhaus and James Tobin. Is growth obsolete? In Economic Growth, National Bureau of Economic Research, New York, 1972. They have constructed a measure of economic welfare which they call MEW. Professor Samuelson calls it Net Economic Welfare or NEW. According to Nordhaus and Tobin in MEW, they have tried to measure all consumption that leads to human welfare. To estimate the value of MEW, they deduct from consumption certain items which do not contribute to welfare and add other items that contribute to welfare but are excluded from GNP estimates. The deductions which they make are of three types. 1. Those public and private expenditures that do not yield utility directly. They call them regrettable necessities, such as government expenditures on national defense, police force, road maintenance and sanitation services, and expenses by consumers on commuting, that is traveling regularly by train, scooter, car or bus between one's residence and place of work. 2. All consumer expenditures on durable household goods such as washing machines, cars, TV sets, etc., which yield utility over their lifetime. 3. Estimated costs arising from negative externalities, which are disamenities arising from urbanization, congestion, and pollution. All these reduce human welfare. Having made these deductions, Nordhaus and Tobin add three items to consumption. They are 1. The value of non-market activities. 2. The estimates of the value of services of durable consumer goods actually consumed by the owners, both households and government. And 3. The estimates of the value of leisure. In estimating MEW, Nordhaus and Tobin devote more attention to the valuation of leisure. For this, they adopt two approaches: the opportunity cost approach and the intrinsic value approach. The opportunity cost approach is based on the principle that when a person chooses to enjoy more leisure, it is always at the cost of foregoing more income. An hour's leisure means an hour's wages foregone. They estimated that the value of leisure measured by the opportunity cost approach has been steadily rising over the years because of the steady rise in the real wage rate per hour over the years. The intrinsic value approach measures the value of leisure in terms of actual enjoyment or utility provided by, say, an hour's leisure. By using such valuation devices, Nordhaus and Tobin estimated that the figure of MEW in the United States for 1965 was $1,200 million, which was twice the GNP for the same year. Their estimate of the growth of per capita MEW for the period 1929-65 averaged 1.1% a year, as against 1.7% a year for per capita GNP for the same period. The estimates reveal that there was remarkable increase in economic welfare. At the same time, the regrettable necessities had also been growing rapidly. From the above discussion, it should not be inferred that MEW is meant to replace GNP. It is at best an attempt to supplement GNP in order to include non-market activities in the latter for relating it to economic welfare. Page 32. Suggested readings. A.C. Pigou, The Economics of Welfare, 4th edition, 1932, Chapter 7. P.A. Samuelson, Economics, 10th edition, Chapter 10. Edward Shapiro, Macroeconomic Analysis, 4th edition, 1976, Appendix, pages 62-65. Exercise 1. How do changes in the size of national income and in the system of distribution affect economic welfare? Explain. 2. What is economic welfare? Clarify its relation with a country's national income. 3. Explain fully the effects of changes in the distribution of national dividend on economic welfare in the interest of the poor. And 4. Is national income a satisfactory measure of economic welfare? Give reasons. What alternative measure would you suggest? With this, we come to the end of Chapter 3.